This is VOA 1, the hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are written especially for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Dan Novak will talk about college degrees and how they still mean higher earnings. Jonathan Evans will tell us about a state in Australia and efforts there to save endangered wildlife. I will return with this week's words and their stories. Today, I talk about a popular transportation expression. Then, Dan Novak will return with a story about China. We will finish our program with John Russell. He talks about the lack of visitors to Bali, Indonesia, and how that is affecting monkeys. But first, the education report.
A growing number of Americans are questioning the value of four-year college degrees as the prices of higher education rise. Many argue that students are left with deep debts and no clear path to jobs. The Gallup Research Company questioned American families about the issue in November and December 2020. It reported that 46% of the families said they would prefer their child do something else than go to college, even if there were no financial barriers. But studies show that people with full college degrees make more money over their lifetimes than people with less education. Those with only high school diplomas, professional certifications, or two-year college degrees earn less on average. Investing in a college degree will usually earn a good return, according to the New York Federal Reserve, the state's central bank. Its data shows that people with college degrees will earn, on average, 14% more money than they spent on college. The average earnings for four-year degree holders is about $78,000 per year, compared to $45,000 for those with only high school diplomas, the bank reported. On average, does not mean that the return on college education will always be a gain. Where a student attends school, how much debt they collect, and the field of study they choose help determine their investment return. And the race, ethnicity, and sex of the student can influence all of that. Here are some of the ways college can turn out to be a good financial decision, or not. Student loan debt is hard to avoid and harder to repay. College costs in the United States rose 117% from 1985 to 2019, federal data shows. Wages, however, have only risen 19% over that same time. Loans are still the main way for most students to pay for college. In order to make the degree worthwhile, a student will have to earn enough money to pay back lenders. A manageable student loan payment is about 10% of after-tax income. That is why it is so important to graduate. A lot of debt and no degree is the worst outcome for a college student. Some fields of study are more profitable than others. Average earnings at the middle stage of someone's career are highest among those who hold a bachelor's degree in the science, technology, engineering, and math fields. Those workers earn $76,000 per year on average, says the Georgetown University's Center for Education and the Workforce. That is followed by people who studied business, $67,000, and healthcare, $65,000. The lowest median earnings were for those in the arts or humanities fields, $51,000, as well as teaching, $46,000. In May 2020, the Thomas B. Fordham Institute released a study on college graduates' earnings. The research and policy group found that people in cities earned higher wages than people living in less populated areas. John Winters is an economics professor at Iowa State University and led the study. In general, college degrees are a good investment, but the return in terms of cosmopolitan areas is phenomenal, he said. In cities, bachelor's degree holders earn $95,229 on average. Winters says that is because cities have more jobs that require four-year degrees, fields like technology, finance, or marketing. Workers in these fields earn higher wages. In some ways, a college degree can make income and racial inequalities worse. Poorer students will have a harder time repaying debt, adding to their economic struggles, said Marshall Anthony Jr. He is with the Center for American Progress. Black students often have greater amounts of debt. They have about $25,000 more, on average, than white borrowers. The Brookings Institution found that 4 years after graduation, Black Americans have $52,726 in student loan debt. White graduates have $28,006. Higher debt and lower wages also means Black borrowers will have more interest over time. A college degree doesn't usually work the same for everybody, Anthony said. I'm Dan Novak.
Thanks for that report, Dan. Now, let's hear from Jonathan Evans.
Officials in Australia's state of New South Wales announced a plan earlier this month to protect endangered plants and animals in the state's national parks. Environment Minister Matt Keane said the plan is to help fight against what he called the worst extinction rate of mammals in the world. Animals such as koalas, rock wallabies, and a rare tree called the nightcap oak are some of the species to be protected. The effort is being called the state's Zero Extinction Plan. More than 90 endangered species at risk from pests, wildfires, and climate change will be given greater legal protection. There are new rules related to birds, frogs and reptiles, and rare trees, including the dwarf mountain pine. The plan includes a number of areas where meat-eating animals will not be permitted. Officials will be able to make conservation and fire supervision plans to protect plants and animals. For some species, there is little time to waste. Some population groups of the brush-tailed rock wallaby in Warrumbungal National Park have fallen to just 10 animals. Environmental groups have largely welcomed the Zero Extinction Plan. Rachel Lowry heads the Australian office of the World Wildlife Fund, an international environmental group. She said, the New South Wales plan is the kind of plan needed to fight against plant and animal extinctions. Now, I would love to see that being drawn actually for the whole nation, and not just for species in protected areas, and in this case, species in protected areas in New South Wales only, she added. Officials in New South Wales have warned that 1 million species around the world face extinction in the near future. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give examples, notes on usage, and sometimes we use them in a short story. Today, we talk about transportation expressions involving ships, boats, and trains. A train ride can be a wonderful adventure. Imagine that you are in your final days of study in Budapest. You have lived there as a student for over a year, but have never traveled to Prague. So on your last weekend, you plan a train trip from Budapest to Prague. But you only have a couple of days to make the trip. You buy a ticket, leaving late on a Friday night. You plan to catch the train after your last class. You are so excited. But after class, your professor offers to buy you dinner. He wants to send you off with a celebration. You don't want to be rude, so you agree. But your eye is always on the clock. Dinner takes longer than you thought it would. And soon it's nearing your time to catch the train. So you thank him and say you have a train to catch. But he insists that you stay for a quick dessert and offers to drive you to the station. You do the time math in your head and figure that if he drives you, you will have just enough time to catch your train. But then, after dessert, he remembers, "Oh, I didn't drive. How silly of me." You tell him, "Thanks, I really have to go." You rush to the station, But by the time you get there, the train, your train, is pulling away. And there won't be another one until the next night. You have missed your train and your chance to see Prague before returning home. And that brings us to our expression for today. That train has left the station. It means you have missed an opportunity, the chance to do something, something you really wanted to do, has passed. We say this when a process is already underway. The time for discussion is over. It's too late to change your mind. And it's too late to make changes. Some possibility or choice is no longer available or likely. If you like boating expressions, you can also say, that ship has sailed, or that someone has missed the boat. They are all used the same way. Besides missing an opportunity, all of these expressions could be used in another situation. When events have been put into place and there is no stopping them. For example, let's say your mother wants to fix you up with the nice child of her boss. She arranges the whole date without talking to you first. You don't want to go, but she has already told her boss that you would. If you were to tell me about it, I would probably say to you, sorry, but that train has already left the station. You must go on that date. Usually, when we use that train has left the station or that ship has sailed, it means events are going forward and you can't stop them. Now, here is a note on usage. Simply put, these sayings mean, it's too late, so save your breath. So they could sound rude or thoughtless. And they are informal. So I would say them to a friend and coworker, but I wouldn't say them to my boss or my professor. Although it was his fault that I missed my train in the first place. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo. Next is another story from Dan Novak. This one is from China.
The Chinese Communist Party's efforts to tighten control over culture, business, and society have affected everyone from tech industry professionals to schoolchildren. It is all part of President Xi Jinping's plan for a more powerful and successful country. Since Xi took power in 2012, he has often called for the party to be an economic, social, and cultural leader. The party has spent the last 10 years of Xi's time in power tightening control and silencing political critics. In the last 40 years, China has seen large economic growth, but it has also seen a large gap between the rich and the poor. The party is promising to spread wealth more evenly and is pressing private companies to pay for social programs. To support its plans, Xi's government is trying to create what it considers a more moral society. It has lessened children's access to video games and has banned men who do not seem masculine enough from appearing on television. Chinese leaders want to push society in one direction selected by the party, said Andrew Nathan. He is a Chinese politics expert at Columbia University in New York. China has started enforcing anti-monopoly and data security laws against online shopping company Alibaba Group and social media company Tencent Holdings. The party thinks the companies have become too big and politically independent. In answer, the company's billionaire executives are trying to show loyalty to Xi by promising to share their wealth. Xi's unclear plan for common prosperity aims to narrow the wealth gap in China, which has more billionaires than the United States. Willie Lam is with the Chinese University of Hong Kong. He said Xi's plan to control business will hurt the most creative and lucrative parts of the economy. The party's rules about monopolies and how information is shared about customers are similar to those of Western nations. But the one-sided and sudden nature of the rules is leading critics to warn that they may threaten China's economic growth. Already, Tencent's stock market value has fallen more than $300 billion. Chinese officials say the public and business community will benefit from higher pay and more control of large corporations. Some parents supported the rule that limits children under 18 to 3 hours of online gaming a week. The rules represent the party's efforts to control a quickly changing society of 1.4 billion people. The Communist Party now permits freer movement and supports internet use for business and education. But leaders reject changes to its one-party dictatorship. The party controls all media and tries to limit what China's public sees online. June Teufel Dreyer is a Chinese political expert at the University of Miami in Florida. She said that as the last 10 years of economic success slows, Xi sees himself as the only person able to strengthen the country. I'm Dan Novak.
Thanks again, Dan. Our last story comes from John Russell. He will talk about monkeys in Bali and how they are dealing with the lack of visitors.
Hungry monkeys on the island of Bali, Indonesia, are now raiding the homes of local villagers in their search for something tasty. The creatures can no longer depend on visitors to provide their favorite foods, including bananas, peanuts, and other treats. The visitors have stopped coming because of the coronavirus crisis. Villagers in Sangay say the gray monkeys, known as long-tailed macaques, have been leaving their protected area that is about 500 meters away. The creatures position themselves on top of homes and wait for the right time to come down and get food. Villagers are concerned that the visits could turn into a large monkey invasion. So they have been taking fruit, peanuts, and other food to the Sangay Monkey Forest to try to keep the monkeys happy. Villager Saskara Gustu Alit told the Associated Press, "We are afraid that the hungry monkeys will turn wild and vicious." Vicious is a term that means very violent and cruel. About 600 of the monkeys live in the protected forest area, swinging from the tall trees and moving around the area near the famous Pura Bukit Sari Temple. In normal times, the protected jungle area of the Indonesian island is popular with local people as well as international visitors. The relatively calm monkeys can be easily persuaded to sit with a person for a peanut or two. Tourism is the main source of money for Bali's 4 million people. The island welcomed more than 5 million foreign visitors every year before the coronavirus crisis. The Sangay Monkey Forest usually had about 6,000 visitors a month. But as the pandemic spread last year and international travel decreased, that number dropped to about 500. Since July, there have been no visitors. The government banned foreign travelers to the island and closed the monkeys' area to local residents as well. Made Mohon is the operations manager for the protected area. He said the restrictions have not only resulted in less food being brought to the monkeys, but also reduced the amount of admission money from visitors. The drop in admissions has made it difficult to buy enough food for the creatures. Gifts from villagers have helped, but locals are also feeling the economic difficulties and are giving less and less, he added. Made Mohon described the coronavirus crisis as being beyond our expectations. He added, "Food for monkeys has become a problem." "Food costs run about $60 a day," Made Mohon said, "for 200 kilograms of cassava and 10 kilograms of bananas. The macaque can eat a number of animals and plants found in the jungle. But those in the Sangay Monkey Forest have had so much contact with humans over the years that they are now used to other things." Gustu Alit said the monkeys are not afraid to take matters into their own hands. Normally, they spend all day with visitors, stealing sunglasses and water bottles, pulling at clothes, jumping on shoulders. But Gustu Alit said the monkeys are now hungry and bored, which could result in problems for the village. "That's why I have urged villagers here to come to the forest to play with the monkeys and offer them food," he said. "I think they need to interact with humans as often as possible so that they do not go wild." I'm John Russell.
Thank you, John. And that brings us to the end of our 30 minutes. Some content in this program was provided by the Associated Press or Reuters News Agency. And don't forget to join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.